Okay. Everybody is very suitable to today's daf, Lamed Tes. Everyone is walking in late, you'll notice. But we got up to on daf Lamed Tes, Mokom Shenoagu Lichpol, which is the two dots about a quarter of the way down. Mokom Shenoagu Lichpol. Tana, and Rebbe Kofel Badvarim. So Rebbe used to be Kofel. Some things. So in other words, he started his kfela from after the Ona Hashem, so the very last part that we do about the Baruch Haba and so on, that he did. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Parta Mosif Badvarim, Rabbi Elazar ben Parta added things, which of course doesn't make any sense. My Mosif, what do you mean? You can't add things to the Halal? Omer Abaye Mosif Lichpol Miotcha Ulamata. He added additional kvelut from Otcha, which is the minhag that we have, which is the way Rashi was befarish, the Iker din in the Mishnah, and downwards. By the way, it's Machlokas Rambam and Rashi as to what kvela is. We do the kvela of Rashi, which is the kvela of Psukim. And the other approach is, the Rambam's approach is that kvela is kvela of words. Repeat each word. Which is like Chazonim do sometimes. It's interesting, there's an equivalent machlokas Rashi in the Rambam about someone who says Shema, Shema, Mashtikim Oto. There it's a question, if he says the whole Pasuk, is it worse or is it better? Interesting. So according to the Rambam, each word Mashtikim Oto, but saying a whole Pasuk, it's Maguna, but not Mashtikim Oto. We're in Rashi, it's the other way around. So that seems, I mean, there's some, the Aruch HaNer wants to make the machlokas independent one on the other. But I mean, it comes out rather strangely the way he learns it, but I mean, it can't be, it's coincidental. Levorech yivorech, Omer Abaye, when the Mishnah says that Baruch is dependent in Minag, it's leishna ala le'acharav. And it says, Dafka, the Baruch after the Halel is dependent in Minag. Aval lefanav mitzvah levorech. The Omer of Yonam Shmuel kolam mitzvot kolam mevorech aleihem over la asiyatan. All brachot have to be done before you do them. Over is not exactly the normal way of saying before. Terem, kodem. What's up with this lashon over? How do we know? My mash b'dahai over lishne dagdumeyu. Who shows us that the word over can be used to mean prior? The Omer of Nachba Yitzchak Dichti, Vayora Tzachi Ma'at Derech HaKikar, Vayavor Et HaKushi. So Vayavor means he got there before the Kushi. Abaye Omer Meocha, Vu Ovar Lifnehem, Viboyisem Meocha, Vayavor Malkam Lifnehem, Vashem Borosham. So you see, Avar means coming in first. It's a very interesting Yitziv, by the way, who says that there's actually a machlokas in these two Lashonas. It's not just different psukim. First of all, we have to recognize that the choice of the word over as opposed to kodem is meant to give you a halacha, because the psukim that we're using is immediately prior, whereas kodem doesn't mean immediately prior. If over is learned from a race, so now obviously we're talking, he came in first. So over would mean over la asiyatan would be a getter of immediately prior to the asiya. Right? As opposed to terem or kodem, which could be there could be a little bit of time. Over here shouldn't be a hefsik between the bruch and the maisa mitzvah. But, points out the Netziv, there's two ways of understanding that. Do you start the bracha and do the mitzvah as you're making the bracha? You'll notice many people do that. Start making the bracha, say, by mila. Do you finish the entire bracha, a la mila, and then begin the mila? Or do you start making the bracha and do the mila as you're saying the bracha? Kviyas ha-mezuzah, and so on. Says the Netziv, very interestingly, that depends on how you learn the two lashonos. If you learn it from vayavor et hakushi, Vayavorat HaKushi was a process, it was a race. So he was gradually, he was overcoming. So he came in first, but that means that the two are going side by side. So you, as long as the bracha comes in first, you can be doing the maisa at the time that you're doing the bracha, but you should finish the bracha first. Bashenkin, if you learn that Vayavor Malkam Lifnehem, it means entirely it was about Malkam Lifnehem. They were directly behind.
Even in those days,
they had the question of getting ahead of the blacks, but it wasn't.
Rabbi, you anticipated.
No, once you, I mean, I wasn't going to say it, but.
I give you credit.
Okay, but it comes out, and the tziv suggests that you could actually do both. There are achronim that ask on the, I mean, I say achronim, very late achronim, that ask on the tziv. From another Gemara, where it's mashmah according to Shmuel, that after you can't do either way, you have to finish the bracha.
Nirot. Get distracted and try to set
a bracha. No, on the contrary, the bracha is the main kavanah. Zokt.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
You'll notice that Lamed Tet has been Lamed Tet the whole day today.
Yeah, all over the
place. Halokeach lulav mechavero b'shvi'it. Somebody who buys a lulav from his friend during Shemitah. Now Rashi suggests that the correct girsa would be alokeach lulav me'am haaretz b'shemitah, because the whole discussion over here is not chavero, a friend who keeps the dinim of Shemitah as you, the chaver, but rather an am haaretz. Tosis brings countless, well, he doesn't bring countless, he says there are countless, brings a few examples of places where we use the word chavero. Even though it's not somebody who matches, we have cases of chaviro, which is referring to a non-Jew. Cases of chaviro, of chover, or eshes chover, eshes hamaret, and so on, chaverta. So he says there's no need to change the girsa, although it does mean someone who bought from an amaret. So now, he's going in to buy a lulav. It's during Shemitah. As we'll see, the time that Shemitah might affect the lulav, assuming it does affect the lulav, which Gemara is going to discuss a little later, is different than the time it would affect the etrog. Because the etrog has a din of a vegetable, legabe, the hilchas Shemitah, and therefore the etrog goes according to the year in which it was picked. Because as we saw earlier, the etrog is godol al kol ma'im, so it needs constant watering, therefore it's given a din of vegetables. So, as we'll see the details to this, but there's a big problem here, because you're not allowed to give over money of Shemitah to an Amoritz. Why you're not allowed to do that, there's a number of different possibilities. Tosis learns, look, the main problem is that money retains the Kedusha Shemitah. Anything that's purchased with it, if you buy food with it, and so it's countless and countless dinim about how to handle that food. There's countless and countless dinim about what things you are allowed to buy with it. There are all kinds of isurim, which we know that the Amoritz is not up to date on, and therefore it's like being machshelim if you give him over this money into his rishus. So that's how Tosafot says, that's the main problem. Here, the question is that in Mason, according to Rashi, is because of the fear of Schora. Now, the Torah says lo okla. Midarshan lo okla means velo l'schora. You can't do business with Shvias Peros. However, over here we're not talking about a case where the guy is doing business. If he was doing business, that would change the whole thing here. And I wouldn't be allowed to engage in it at all. The din of lo l'schora does not mean that, let's say, you picked an etrog, personally. You have additional etrogim. You pick, let's say, 5 etrogim. You only need one. You're not to sell the rest. As long as you're not the same guy who's doing the picking and the selling, send your kid to the streets and have him hawk the etrogim. That's not called the schora. The schora, somebody picks in order to sell and makes a whole business out of it. That's a completely different issue. Certainly no din that you're not allowed to sell something that was boliotcha eshmita. However, the implications of lolis chora is that you cannot give money to the Amoritz where there that would be used, lischora. Over there, says Rashi, emos rim lahem, because look, what's he going to do with the money? You're going to start buying things that are more than just the money that you need to live on right now up front, the likely it is he's going to bank the money. Once he banks the money, then he's already engaged in Schora of Shvias, because now he's not using it for Achila. You could translate what you sell into Achila, but you can't start banking it, buying other things with it, and using it now as an income. So therefore we answered it. There are those who learn that Rashi and Tosfos aren't really saying anything much different. It depends how we understand Rashi. But in any event, our problem over here is, what do we do about paying for our etrog? Because you're not allowed to give the man money from Shemitah. So, and once you buy that etrog, the Shemitah Kedusha on the etrog goes on to the money. Not that it goes off of the etrog, by the way. Etrog is not the same as things that you could be. Shvius is not the same as things you can be Bechala. The first thing that grows can never lose its din of Shvius. But anything that exchanged for it gets the din of Shvius. From that point on, it's Mechulal on the next thing down. In other words, the actual pre remains Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvius. The money, or the exchanged pre, even though it had initially the Kedusha Shvius, when it's exchanged for something else, always the last thing becomes that which is Kodesh B'Kedusha Shvius. So after the first exchange, Shvius is similar to the exchanges that we have in terms of Chilul of Kodesh and of Meiser and so on. So therefore, he tells his friend, look, I'll pay you for the Lulav and the Adasim and the Arovas. Give me the Esrik for free. Notein lo etrog b'matana. He's not allowed to buy that etrog during Shemitah. By the way, just so you should know, there's a whole different approach. There's Rambam's approach. The Rambam learns that we're talking about an etrog from a field that was Mishumar. And that's the problem of giving him over the money. And we'll see later on, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, something which was Mishumar that people had not been mafter during Shemitah at all, Istam Oser, Shalokadin, Istam Oser, though you wouldn't be allowed at all to utilize such payres. Of course, this becomes major machlokas in Bismanenu. The question of what the Yisurim are over here have very direct implications to how we act during Shemitah, which will be very again next year, whether Mishomer is Oser and so on.
But if you allow them to pick up the etrog, they will kill all your plantation there, because it's a very delicate tree.
If when?
If you mafker it,
yeah.
Everybody can get in, they will destroy it. People will come and
kill it. We'll get to when we get to Shvita. Talk about this.
My guess is that
maybe we should do again. We did last time we did the Yerushalmi on Shvita. Let's try it again. Maybe we'll get more interesting takers this time.
My guess is that in this case, the lulavim are going to be very expensive.
Oh, now the question is, lo ratzeh liten lo b'matana mahu. How about if the guy doesn't want to give him the etrog b'matana? And what do you do? Omer Avuna, as Ramati just suggested, the lulavim are suddenly going to become very expensive. Free etrogim, lulavim 300 shekel and up. Okay. So what you do is mavliyalo demei etrog belulav. You have to absorb, but that you can do. In other words, you can pretend you're paying more money for the lulav, but you can't exchange the money directly for the etrog. What's the problem exactly? Relative lo ba'adia. Why can't you just give him the money for an etrog? I understand. You can't give over, as I mentioned. Makhluk is Rashi and Tosis. Why? But you can't give over to make Peirot of Shvias to the Amoritz because of the many halakhas that are Nageya, and or because the Amoritz will start banking that money, and that becomes now an element of Schora, not keeping the dinim of Shvias on. How much can you give them? Ein Masrim Dmei Shvi Peirot Shvi Yoter Mi Bazon Shalosh Suudot. More than the cost of 3 Suudot. Now here, Tosfos points out, what? An etrog costs more than mazon shtar shalosh tzudot? We have gemaras that imply that you can buy an esrog for a dime. I mean, here we're talking about what? I mean, maybe $20. It's expensive for an esrog. says Tosfos Enafinami, a nice esek for the mitzvah is expensive, even in the Gemara's days. So if it was Mehudar, kosher, v'hadar levracha, damav yikarim, costs a lot of money. So therefore we have to figure out a way which we can be mavliyat by overcharging for the lulav.
What's the excuse now?
For the overcharging.
Overcharging for the lulav.
Just to get into practice. We're very makpid that people shouldn't forget the halachas from year to year. The imasar, how about if you did give it over to him, what do you do? Yomar hare ma'ot halalu yehu mechulalin al perot sheyeshli b'toch beti. Then the person who gave over the money will have to take the value of that money and be mechalalit on actual perot in his own home. Uba ve'ochlan b'kedushat shvi'it. And then he comes home and he takes those perot and gives them all the chumras of shvi'is, which includes biur, that he's going to have to get rid of them and so on, which was one of the main problems, according to Rashi, of giving over the perot to the Amoritz. Because if you give perot over to an Amoritz and he banks it, then he's not going to be mekayem the mitzvah of biur. The mitzvah of biur is that once these perot disappear from public property in the fields, you have to be mafkir either the perot or the money that the perot were purchased with. Well, this guy who's banking them sure is not going to go and be mafkir it, right? So therefore you can't give it over to him. Tosfos asks on that shot in Rashi, if that's the case, there are various things that don't need biur because they're always available. And how come those things you're also not allowed to buy from an Amoritz? There's obviously more concerns than just biur. So Tosfos explains there are indeed a broad range of concerns. As I mentioned, there are those who hold that Rashi is not necessarily saying anything different. I mean, the Lifnei he's talking about over here may be just an example of biur. There's various things that we know the Amoritz will not be mocked, but it's just too complicated for them to even know the halachas. Now, there is a question over here. How can you be mechalal somebody else's money? You already went ahead. You gave it over to the guy, right? So now you want to go ahead now and redeem the Kedusha Shvius on that money on your own perot and your own... You can't do that.
Before you give him the money, you do it.
But here it says, if you already did it, what do? If you made the mistake, you give it to him. So Tosfos says, look, this may just be a fine. Since you did it, this is, we fine you. Not that it's going to really help. But others learn it means you ask the guy permission. If it's going like the Mandi Omar, well, there is a machlokas. Whether you're doing a guy a favor, you could be mechalal his things, even though he didn't ask you. But if you hold like the Mandi Omar that it doesn't help, you can't be mechalal mashe biyad chaveiro, something that's in somebody else's hand. Either we'll learn that this is a fine, or that you ask the man permission, say, look, I made a mistake, you don't want to get into problems with the Kedusha Shvius, let me remove the Kedusha Shvius and I'll take responsibility for that. Fox is always ready for that one. Let somebody else take the responsibility. So, Badmet Dvorim Amurim, Belokeach Minamufkar. But this is only if he took from the Mufkar, meaning that at least these Mazon Shalosh Udot, at least we didn't see that the man was actually keeping them in a Bishimur. But if it was lokeach mina mishumar, meaning that there was a gate around the field and it was protected, so then afilu b'chatzi isar asur. Now there's two ways of understanding that. That it's mamish mina mishumar, meaning that we know it was mishumar, or that whereas a chash, that maybe it was mishumar. That's already a different way of learning, which again we'll get into when we get into the dinim of shvias. Matzav Rav Sheshet. You're telling me that the most that you can give over to Manama Oretz is talking about 3 su'udot worth of food and no more. Varamini. Now, I'm going to need your translations here because, I mean, I don't know whether they often take the easy way out and don't translate them.
I have them written from last
time we did it. But again, I didn't know any more last time than I know this time. But I mean, whatever. I mean, look, I have a whole book that I think I actually brought in the book to show the pictures. I forgot this year. I have a book with the that gives over all the botany information of the names in the Gemara with the different shittas and so on. So hapigim, how did I translate that last time?
I think that it's
Ru. Ru. R-U-E. Oh, Ru. Oh, yeah. Well, that's suitable for the Solomons. Yeah. Okay, and what does the art say? I don't think they had an art. They had an art the last time we did this.
They might not have.
I don't think so. Yeah?
Here it says Ru.
Ru. Okay. Hashitim.
S-O-R-E-L.
Okay, Shitim is Sorrel. Is that the way we had it also last time? Not that any of this helps, because I have no idea what these things, what these things look like. But maybe the picture book?
I don't have my phone.
Where's the picture book? No pictures. When we need them, they don't have. First time we need them, they don't have them?
For a Sukkot, I'll draw a picture. They won't give
them. Okay.
It's a lot easier.
Kuzbar?
Well, that Kuzbar is coriander.
Coriander. But only the Kuzbar Sheb'harim. That's what grows basically up on the mountains, but it's not harvested usually. It's not Kuzbar, garden Kuzbar. Garden coriander is kosher, and all of that would have a din of Shvias. Karpas Shibinarot, what's Karpas also like there? River Crest, okay.
Rocky says it's river celery.
All right, river celery, Zolzain. Assuming such a thing exists.
Like potatoes, some people like carrots.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
but again, Karpas that grows in the field is different. Gargir Shel Efer, the wild gargir.
Garden rocket.
Rocket, this is one of our favorites.
Like
no, non-garden rocket. Oh, not right. Garden rocket. Not
meadow
garden.
Rocket.
Hmm?
Meadow rocket.
Meadow rocket, exactly.
Not garden
rocket. Peturei min hamaser. All of these things are basically considered to be hefker all the time. Because they're not... one of the things that's b'chayiv of you is has to be nishmar, it has to be something that people care about, not mukhtar. These are things that normally people pick free, nobody keeps them watched, and so on. And in Shemitah, nikachim mikol adam b'shvi'it, because in terms of Shemitah, it's not that there's no din of Shemitah, there's a din of Shemitah even on things that grow in open fields that nobody cared about. But it's considered to be buying... from a mufker, in other words, we don't need to know that this guy didn't keep these things locked in a storage room. It's considered to be lokeach min hamufkar, without knowing. You could just assume that it's mufkar. But note doesn't say how much. It says, nikach mikol adam b'shvit, mashma, if a guy has more than shalosh sudot, he could sell more than shalosh sudot, it would be no objection. Nefisha'in kayotzei bahen nishmar. Because normally people don't build fences around this type of things. Hum motivlo hum efarekla. He asks the question and he brings the only answer you could say. Is that when it says nikachin mikol adam, it means bichdei man. Only that which is the requirement for the man. Why do we use the strange meaning of man over here? Because the din of shalosh sudot was based on Shabbos. Because normally people only eat two meals a day. So why are we matir to give him three meals as his immediate needs? Because look, on Erev Shabbos, we're certainly, for the man, we're going to have to give him three meals. So once we're matir three meals, we're going to start now making differences in days, we're matir the way the man is used. Now, obviously, this is just a remez. We can't use the word man to mean cholo shudos of food, unless we have a raya that the word man means food.
Well, don't we?
No. Interestingly enough, we don't. Even though man in the Midbar, when they said manu, they didn't know what it was. But Rashi says of their hachanat mazon, which of course is the lashon of haman. Haman is mimuchan. So the man is mimuchan, hachanat. The main point of man is hazmana. not food. It's all interrelated. My Mora makes that one.
No, I'm just saying, but that's already ready to eat, no?
Huh?
Hamina is the food was edible.
But again, there's the shayla, what's that word itself mean? Mm-hmm. Pashas, the word is. Therefore, we need a raya. I mean, this all the achronim speak all of this out. I mean, speak, the chap that it's that we use this losh to tell me man is I forgot who it is. Either chap is tomorrow and brings it a karen. When did the achronim bring it? I really should be more makpid to remember. So how do we know that the word man doesn't necessarily refer to hazmana, but actually refers to bazon itself? Tichtiv, because we find that it says by Daniel, Vayman lehem hamelech dvar yom biyomo, mipatbag hamelech. So that the king provided their food. It's not reasonable, say these achronim, that the king would have to go and to be Mazmin, he always has available. So therefore, vayeman would mean literally to feed. In which case, bichdei man would mean sufficient to eat.
So what you do with vayeman, Hashem bedagador v'lo etena?
Over there was a very unusual dog. Even the melech wasn't had many of those. That's certainly the inverse. Huh? Over there, the man is doing the eating. Very good. Very good. Says that actually a lot of Mefarshim are left stunned, but they don't have an answer to the question that David asked. This is an approach, I believe it's the approach of the Karanar, but that man would normally not mean food from the Midbar, but hazmona food. But I mean, others ask, what could possibly be the meaning of how do we know man is a lashon of achila? Isn't that the whole point? It's the Gemara, so I don't understand it. Isn't the lulav just as much of a problem? Now later on we're going to question that hanocha. Is a lulav a problem? Is this a tree? Osir in shvius, or does it need to have things that are edible in order to be osir in shvius? That to be discussed later. But assuming that the lulav would also be chayav in shvius, why is the Mishnah focusing on the problem of the etrog? And saying we can include the etrog and the lulav through havla'ah, they should both have the same problem? No. The lulav, you see, is talking about a lulav that came from the previous year. It grew during the sixth year. The lulav grew by shishis adnichlis v'shviyis. The lulav is a sixth year lulav that now was picked during Shemitah. So then the etrog is also something that obviously didn't grow up from Rosh Hashanah till today. I mean, it took it a while. By the way, that's Rashi's lashon, for which everyone is bedayik. So you see that legabe the dinim of Shemitah, we don't look at Tu B'Av, at Tu B'Shvat. We look at Rosh Hashanah Daf. There's a big shaila. Rashi used the word for Rosh Hashanah. You don't think the lulav grew up in that short time?
Well, right? Krishna
says. Yeah, but it's not so posh, but the parts of the tree are too. Okay, but again, to be discussed in that sugya, it's a machloket. Yeah, but not to address the question of this whether we go both. Yeah. Yes, on Shemitah, but not to address how we would view the Rosh Hashanah. But the Rosh Hashanah Lagabi Alulav would be. So Yochi, isn't the etrog also from the previous year? Indeed, it is. Etrog, but the etrog is defined by when it's picked. Whereas the lulav is defined by when it grew. And therefore the etrog that is picked today has kedushat shvius. Mashenkin, the lulav that is picked today doesn't have kedushat shvius. Therefore the Mishnah focuses on what to do with the etrog. Next year, Bezrat Hashem, we will be buying etrogim.
Probably.
That is one approach. Or we'll be buying them as an otzer bezin.
Next year, do you have to?
Next year.
Oh,
the etrogim. Well, it depends when they're picked. They're picked from before, you're right. The etrog usually doesn't show up until the year afterwards.
Amen. Just very expensive boxes.
Right, yeah. Pay a lot for those boxes. Yeah, that's what it is.
It's your coffee table.
So ask the Gemara, But how is that the halacha v'bein Rabbi Gamliel v'bein Rabbi Eliezer are moda le'inyan shvius, then an etrog goes according to its blossoming time. Batarchanata. We do have a machloket about inyanim of orla, things like that, maestras. But both shitas, Rabbi Gamliel shita and Rabbi Eliezer shita, agrees that in terms of the dinim of shvius, etrog goes according to when it blossomed, which would mean that if the lulav is a sixth year lulav coming into the seventh year, the etrog also would be the same case. And why then would the Mishnah focus on the etrog as opposed to the lulav? Titznan. What is the machlokas we're referring to between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer? As follows. Etrog shava le'ilan b'shalosh drachim. There are three ways in which an etrog has dinim of an ilan, but there's one way in which it's given, in terms of one set of halachot, it's given the dinim of a vegetable. It's shavel ilan b'shlosha drachim in terms of orla. So in other words, we define it as having an isra orla. Peppers don't have an isra orla, even if they have the picture of peppers, they had it in its. Those don't have a din of orla. Of course, the real peppers. Now, there we're talking. But not our picture peppers.
We're not talking about
true peppers. La patino. Revoi. By the way, not everybody agrees that there is such a thing as netta revoi, by the way, you know that. The famous machlokas, exactly. Whether the din of netta revoi is actually din of kerem revoi. We've had it in the sugi many times. That the Torah only asked a vineyard the fourth year growth. Not every fruit in the fourth year growth, but as Tosis points out, the Mishnah that we're talking about over here is going according to the Mandi Omar, who holds netar avoy, as opposed to kerem avoy. Vilashvias, oho! Now this is saying that if an etrog is a tree, in terms of the dinim of shvias, then it would go batar chanata, not according to its time of likita. Okay. L'yerek b'derach echad, shebisha'at l'kitato isuro. A vegetable, the year of its growth, is defined by the year in which it's picked. Therefore, we define which meiser to take by the year in which we pick it. So we have, as you know, the meiser cycle, in which years 1 and 2 of the Shemitah cycle, we take meiser sheni together with our meiser rishon. Same for years 4 and 5, but in years 3 and 6, we take Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani instead of Maiser Sheni. So what would define which Maasrot to take? The year that you picked the Etrog. So says Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. Etrog shavali lan l'chol davar. But, I mean, certainly this means that everybody agrees in the Mishnah that when it comes to Shemitah, the Etrog is the same as the Lulav. Why then does the Mishnah say we're concerned for the etrog, and that it's enough if it gives you the etrog b'matana? You can't, whatever the din is on one is the din on the other. Answers the Gemara, you're absolutely right. But the Mishnah is going neither like Rabbi Gamliel, nor like Rabbi Eliezer. Hu di amar ki hai tana. He actually disagrees, and he's following yet another shita. Tanya Omer Reb Yosi, Av Tumu Seid Mishum Chamisha Zikenim, Etrog Achar Lekita Lema'aser, that there were 5 Zikenim that said that Etrog vis-a-vis the dinim of Meiser, which is exactly what Rabbi Gamliel said earlier, goes according to when it's picked. But Rabotenu Nimnu Be'usha, place in Barnea's neighborhood, but he's not here to argue for it today. The Rabotenu in Usha, which was the Mokum of the Bezdin HaGadol, they voted the Omru Bein Lamaaser Bein Lishvias, that it's considered to be a vegetable in terms of Dine Lakita, also vis-a-vis the set of Alochas Rishmita. Clearly, our Mishnah is following the Edus of Avtumos. Shmita. Man docha shmei, whoever mentioned anything about Shemitah, you were just talking about before what the din is l'maiser, and all of a sudden somebody throws in a shmita, chasurim achasra. Obviously, it was missing a little piece. Vachitoni etrog achar lechita l'maaser v'achar chanata l'shviit. That the Tanakhama was saying, like Rabbi Gamliel, that when it comes to shmita, indeed the etrog is no different than any other fruit, and it goes according to its blossoming time. But Rabotenu nimnu b'usha v'amru etrog, that actually the etrog is achar lekita bein lemaaser bein lishvi'i.
Is that the only fruit that has this exception? Why definitely?
Because it's treated like, it's grown like a vegetable. In other words, you have to water it all the time as if it was growing in a vegetable garden. Markam shenaga lichpo tana Rebbe kofil b'dvarim Rebbe Elazar ben Parta mosif b'dvar mosif am Rabbi mosif lichpo miod chaulem ata Markam shenaga levarech yevarech am Rabbi. What do you mean? You're referring to la'achra of the funa? For sure, it's not totally in a minute. It's a mitzvah levarech. Don't Rebbe Yerameshmu kolam mitzvot kulan mevarech aleihem over la'asiyatam. My mash b'dai over lishta dagdumiu. Don't Rebbe Nachman Yitzchak tichtiv ayoratzach imatz. Derech hakikar, vayavor et hakushi. Abai omer mihacha, vuhu avar lifnehem, vibaitema mihacha, vayavor malkam lifnehem, vehashem birosham. Halokeach lulav micha vero bishviyas, lo ten lo etrog mematana lafi she'en rashay lelo kho bishviyas. Lo ratza li ten lo matana, mao, omer vuna mavli alei demei etrog belulav. What's the problem with just giving him over the money? Either because of biur or because of all of the various other mitzvahs that need to be done with that money. Titania ein mosrim de mei perot shvit la amaret yoter mi mazon shalosh seudot v'imasar yomar harimahot alalu yu mechulalim al perot sheyesh li betoch beiti, and then you have to come home v'ochlon begedushat shviit b'med var mamurim belokeach mina mufkar. You don't have to be chayshish. Ava belokeach mina meshumar. If the ma'isa he was over on that, so then afilu bichatzi isur. Isur, you're not allowed to buy at all. What's the problem? According to Rabbeinu Tam, as I mentioned earlier, the problem is that meshumar is asur ba'achila. But if you don't know that meshumar is asur ba'achila, so then there's got to be another issue over here, right? So in other words, again, according to, if the son is a mokum mishumer, so then we understand that he isn't really selling al-yad, like he's claiming. He's being over on l'schayra. That's how Rashi learns. It's not that the problem is the shimur per se. It's that the problem is that the only reason we're allowed to buy it all is because he wasn't oisik in schora. So remember that we have the issue of not engaging in business, which he is. That only comes into play where it's true business, where he's dealing like a wholesaler, and not where he's doing what this mission is based on. He just happens to have an etrog. He's selling him, you know, happened to get one, was left over, his kids picked the etrogim for themselves, so he has some to sell. But if he's selling, then there's a problem of velo l'schora. That's a straight out problem. According to Tosis, we have an additional problem, which is that the parents themselves become usher in a Meshumar case. And then we have the middle case, assuming he's selling, and the perot aren't usher. There we have a halacha not to be moser a lot of money of Shemitah into the hands of an Amoritz, because we understand that money will be banked. If it'll be banked, he's not going to be mevayered. Then it becomes part of the getter of a lolis chora, as Rashi learns, or just part of the issue of making sure that money of Shviyas is treated by Gedusha Shviyas according to Tosfos. It's important to recall, not to get confused. There's three very different sugyas going on all at one time right here in this issue of the Amoritz. Mosiv Rav Sheshes, Umina Mufkar Shalosh Sudot Betulo, Ramin E'i, Apigam, והרייר זובין, והשיטים, והחלה גלוגות, והכוסבר שבערים, והכרפה שבנערות, והגרגיר של איפר, just remember the racket, פטורין מן המעשר, ונתקחין מכל אדם בשביעית, לפי שאין כיוצא בהם נשמר, משמע without any limitations, no matter how much, humotiv la mefarekla? No. It's taking for granted the limitations stated elsewhere. And what it means is bichdei man shanu. V'chein amar rabba barbacha namar biyokanan, bichdei man shanu. My mash v'dai man lishta de mezonehu, dechtiv ayiman lehem amelach, iochi lulav nami. Lulav, it's talking about a bar shishit, anichnas ha-shvi'itu. So that the etrog could also be bar shishit. Anichnas ha-shvi'iti. Etrog goes according to Lakita. Huh? Ben Rabbi Amliel, Ben Rabbi Yezel, Linyan Shvias, Etrog Basur Chanota Azlina. Ditzan Etrog, Shaval Ilan Bishul Shadrachim, Eli Yerek Bederech Echad. Shavil Ilan Bishul Shadrachim, La Orla, La Revoi, La Shvii, La Yerek Bederech Echad, Shbishat Lekitato Yisro, Div Rabbi Amliel. And Rabbi Yezel says, Etrog is an Ilan, La Choldavar. So who is this man, the Orman, that says that there's such a thing as an Etrog that goes, Batal Lekita? Ah, our Tana is going according to this, with the Amakai Tanya, the Tanya. Omer of Yossi, Avtulmus Heid, Mishum Chamisha Zikenim, Etrog Achar Lakita Lamaser, Verabotenu Nimnu Beushav Omru, Bein Lamaser, Bein Shvid. Shvid? Who's talking about Shvid? Chisur Mechas, Ochi Ketan. Etrog Achar Lakita Lamaser, Veachar Chanata Lashvid, Verabotenu Nimnu Beushav Omru, Etrog Batar Lakita, Bein Lamaser, Bein Lashvi'in.